Jesus' name this morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Chosen to read a few verses there. Jesus uses an illustration kind of passively of the difference in how we are works. You know, he's dealing with the Jews. They are used to, coming out of the Old Testament, a works-based religion, and it's tough to change. And Jesus has a unique way of using the natural things going on around the people to show them an example that's very easy to see. So starting in verse 13, and this is right after he's already had a pretty serious discussion with him. It starts like this: "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." And according to some research I've done, in that area the culture was children were considered of little to no value as far as status in life. They weren't really given one. And you still see that in some of those countries, the way that is. So looking at this illustration, Jesus reaching out to these children in this way, and then let's read on and see why Jesus did this. Why did he use this between the first part of the chapter? Here's this little window of who Jesus is, what he does, and then let's look at what he does next. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And notice he says, Good master, and if you do some homework there, that is like saying, Thou sinless one. And when would that happen? Why would anybody in this era run up and address somebody like that? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Jesus questions it too. Why are you doing this? To see what his motive is. There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. He answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. He was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So the question is, what is Jesus talking about? He starts with children, people who are of no repute. And I say that from the aspect of in that culture, children, you kind of let them fend for themselves, and if and when they become something, then that's what it is. But Jesus addresses those children, reaches out to them in a way that's unusual. The people, I mean, disciples wanted to run them off because they knew that that wasn't the right thing to do. But Jesus set a new standard. And he reaches out to them, and then he says this: whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now, these little children in this setting had nothing to offer. They simply came as they were with nothing. God blessed that and asked us to be like that. And now he changes this to this next, to the rich young ruler, who is the complete contrast. And it's so interesting how in these Gospels you see this orchestrated. But here comes the rich young man. Here's the exact opposite of who he just addressed. The rich young man. He's a ruler. I mean, he's got the world by the tail, we would say. He comes running up. He's the status quo. He can do everything. He can meet all the criteria that the Jews were asking for. He knows the commandments. He doesn't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill, don't bear false witness. He doesn't defraud, and he honors his father and mother. What more does the Bible ask? What did the rich man still need? He was way better than the children. He made something of his life, as we would say. He's accomplished some. He's got his empire. You know, if things go south, he had his 401k. He's got, well, you can just imagine. You know how it works. He doesn't really need anything. What really catches my eye then is verse 21, where it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So Jesus wasn't out to get him. He wasn't out to destroy his empire. But here was a man in need, and Jesus loved him, just like he loved the children. So what is the one thing that this young man didn't have? Or did he have something he shouldn't have had? Might be another way to ask the question. Where was his trust? Maybe that's the key. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? You know, when he went through all the list of the commandments, you know, you just get the impression he was probably nodding his head, and he was right there. He knew all this stuff. He was just right spot on, and he was in agreement. But what was the problem? And I think it's humanity. It's the same problem I have. How do I put God in proper perspective in my life? How do I keep possessions to where they're just possessions, not things that dictate what I do? And how do I show to the people around me that I'm serving God and not things, is the question. For that rich man to enter heaven with his trust in his good works, in his trust, in his money, would be as hard as it would be to stick a camel. The largest animal that those people were accustomed to working with is what Jesus picks, and stuff it through the eye of a needle. And I choose to think this morning that he meant a literal eye of a needle. That's how hard it is for somebody who refuses to trust God to get into heaven. The disciples recognized it because they said this. In verse 26 it says, and they were astonished out of measure. So they thought Jesus lost his marbles. I mean, what in the earth? Look at what they say next. Who then can be saved? They're ready to leave. There's no hope for them. But Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All we need to do is trust. Jonah learned how to trust. It was hard. He didn't go through an eye of a needle, but he went through the mouth of a whale. And if you look at chapter 2, verse 9, when he's laying in the midst of that whale, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." So we say it's impossible for a fish to swallow a man, and he lived. And it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, but Jonah went through a fish. And God can take us, he can take me, and change our will and stuff us through the eye of a needle. I think it's true. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, again it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And maybe that's where that rich man who came running and kneeled down and called Jesus the sinless one, maybe that's where that was the one spot he still had to go. And maybe he couldn't get there without giving up everything he owned. Maybe that is what it took to be able to fit through the eye of a needle, is to get rid of some of the baggage. So this morning, I guess this was just impressed on me, you know, as I come this morning to worship God, you know, what is my baggage? What does God have to do to me to get me to fit into the kingdom? How hard is it? Can we do it? So that's a challenge that was a big challenge to me, and hopefully it speaks to each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you once again for your word and for your teaching and how simple and plain you can make your message. We thank you for it this morning, and we just pray that you would be with our service and the Sunday school and the teachers. Just bless each one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.